Chapter 6. I Am Alone. That night, after the funeral, Peggotty came to me in my bedroom. She sat down on my little bed and told me in her own way what had happened to my mother.
"She was ill for a long time, Davy," said Peggotty. "She was very worried and unhappy. She had a baby, a little boy who had the same eyes as you, your little brother. At first, I thought the baby would make her better, but she became a little sadder and more ill every day. She seemed frightened of everything, but she was always the same sweet girl with me."
Here, Peggotty stopped and held on to my hand tightly before continuing.
"One day, your mother said to me, 'I don't think I will ever see my sweet Davy again, Peggotty.' Then, about a week before she died, she told her husband, 'My dear, I think I am dying.' I never left her after that. On the last night, she kissed me and said, 'If my baby dies too, Peggotty, put him in my grave with me.' It was done because the poor little boy only lived a day longer than her. As the sun came up, she talked about Mr. Copperfield and how kind he had always been to her. Oh, Davy, then she lay her poor head on my arm and died like a child who had gone to sleep."
That was the end of Peggotty's story. From that moment, I only remembered my mother as the beautiful and happy young woman from my earliest memories. The next day, Miss Murdstone told Peggotty that she was not needed any more. After that, I was completely alone in the world. The Murdstones did not speak to me. Days, weeks, and months went by, and my only friends were my old storybooks. I read them over and over again. I now come to a time in my life that I can never forget. Even now, in happier times, these moments from the past can appear in front of me like terrible ghosts. One morning after breakfast, Mr. Murdstone came to speak to me.
"David," he said, "I have decided that you will not return to boarding school. This world is a difficult place, and I want you to understand that. You must go out and fight with it. You will go to London and work in one of my businesses there. I will rent a room for you, but you will earn money for your food. You will leave tomorrow."
And so, the next day, I once again left my home behind. I wore a little white hat and carried everything that I owned in a small box by my side. At 10 years old, I was travelling to London and newly employed by Murdstone and Grinby's bottle factory. My new place of work was the last building at the bottom of a narrow street. It was a dirty and smoky old house beside the river. My hands shook when I walked into it for the first time. It was my job to wash empty bottles. I worked with 3 other boys in the corner of the factory. I cannot describe how awful I felt when I remembered my old school friends, Steerforth and Traddles, and the other boys at Salem House. I felt that all the hopes and dreams that I had for my future suddenly disappeared. At the end of my first day at Murdstone and Grinby's, I was called to the office and introduced to a man in an old brown suit called Mr. Micawber. Mr. Murdstone had rented a room in Mr. Micawber's house for me. Mr. Micawber and I walked through the busy streets to his house in Windsor Terrace. There I met Mrs. Micawber, who had two babies on her knee and two more children. Master Micawber was four and Miss Micawber was three. Mrs. Micawber showed me to my bedroom at the top of the house. It was very small, with very little furniture.
"I never thought we would need to rent our rooms, but Mr. Micawber is having terrible difficulties with money at the moment," she told me.
Poor Mrs. Micawber. She had tried to help Mr. Micawber with his debts. She even put up a sign outside the front door that read, "Mrs. Micawber's Boarding School for Young Ladies." But I don't think any young ladies ever went to school there. The only people I saw there were people who wanted money from Mr. Micawber to pay for his debts. They used to come all the time, and some of them were quite frightening. In this house, and with these people, I passed my free time. Some days, Mr. Micawber came home for dinner and cried about his debts. Other days, he talked about putting expensive new windows in the house. Mrs. Micawber was the same. They were a strange pair, but I became quite attached to the Micawbers.
"Master Copperfield," said Mrs. Micawber with red eyes one evening, "you are our good friend, so I want to tell you that Mr. Micawber is now in serious trouble with his debts. The only food left in the house is a piece of cheese, and this will not feed a young family."
"Dear me," I said, feeling very worried.
I had some of my week's money left in my pocket. I took it out and begged Mrs. Micawber to take it. Kissing me, Mrs. Micawber replied that she could not. Soon, Mr. Micawber's difficulties led him to become bankrupt, and he was sent to debtor's prison. On the morning that he was taken away, I thought that his heart was breaking. But I later heard that he was seen enjoying a game with the other prisoners before noon. Mrs. Micawber asked for my help with selling some of the furniture in the house so that she could buy food. Almost every morning before work, I went out and sold their things for her. When there was nothing left but the beds that we slept in, Mrs. Micawber was forced to move into the debtors' prison with the children. I had come to like living with the Micawbers, and I felt very alone again without them. I knew that I would not easily find a new room with new people that I liked. I began to feel that I would only escape from the life that I was living if I did something about it. I decided then to run away, to go south to Dover. I planned to find the only family that I had in the world and tell my story to my great aunt, Miss Betsy.